I'll be dealing with a number of the questions that were raised in the survey, not all of them, obviously, and Dennis has already touched on some of them, and I'm sure here or there we might actually come back, but it was early last year that I realized that working from home is what I've done my whole life. I had a very short stint, maybe of about 8 years, in a theological seminary. We had an office in the Bible College in Randburg, but I still mostly then did a lot of work at home in the evenings, which I probably shouldn't have now that I think about it. There was a short time when we launched Ignite Youth at church before Encounter Youth was rebranded, and we shared a front office. Quinton was around in those days, and those days from yore. And I've realized that I work best in an environment that is somewhat secluded from others, that most of my best work, whether it's writing, whether it's creating stuff, actually happens in some level of isolation. It probably matches a little bit the fact that I'm an introvert in terms of how I energize and how I show up or like to rest and stuff. But as I began to think about what it is that I actually do around working from home, I realized that possibly out of just my experience, I could think of some ways that I can help others improve at working from home. And so I think in the survey, you'll probably realize that you scored really well in some areas and you found that other areas needed to be a bit improved. So I'm going to deal with my top 10 best practices. I'm going to deal with 5, briefly cover them, and then I'm going to drop it in to you into breakout groups, and you'll say which one you're doing well in and which one you need to improve or something practical you can do. And then I'll deal with the next 5 and we'll do breakout rooms again for that. This is not only designed for you. This is for you, but I'm going to share the text of this in a PDF when we're done on our Rosebank Rocks, and also the PowerPoint, so that maybe you can pass it on to others, either in your teams or friends or family who might need a lot of help. And I know we haven't just started working from home, but sometimes even remembering the basics. There was one time that I'd already scored a try in a rugby match, and I thought what I'd do is be very kind to someone who was next to me. So even though I was over the line and I could have put the ball down for my second try, our team's second try, I passed it to a colleague, another player, and he fumbled it and we lost the game. So sometimes you need to do the basics right. If the try line's there, put the ball down and yep, don't get too clever. So maybe 1 or 2 or 3 of these are actually just what the doctors ordered for you. So firstly, embrace a working from home mindset. Now, what I mean by this is that you need to maybe realize that I'm working from home, I'm not off, this is not leave, and it helps sometimes to say I'm at work. It may, whatever that means for you, it might mean dressing appropriately. And if you remember a video that Steve Morrell shared last year, he said, get up, shower, dress, and he said, worst case if necessary, drive around the block and come back into your house so that you feel like you're working. So it's a little bit of a mind shift change that says, I'm actually working from home. I'm not on leave. Now, number 2 is going to sound totally obvious, but it really helps if people know that you're actually working at the moment, that you're working from home. So tell people that you're working, that you're not off. There are times that we need to say to people, I need interruptions kept to a minimum. If someone has stapled their eye, that's not a time for minimum interruptions. That's the time to stop what you're doing and take the staple out of your son's eye. I'm sure that doesn't happen to anyone.
But only to the record.
Oh, yeah, true. If you're doing a call, if you're on Zoom, let people know. And often people just don't know, you know? If you're doing deep work, let it be known. I've found that we need to be gracious. Yeah. It is firstly your home. Secondly, it's your workplace. And so to snap at someone and to, if I haven't reminded people, maybe that's not going to be helpful. So it's extremely important to discern what is an emergency. And don't forget that many interruptions are actually opportunities. So I think you hinted at this recently in one of your messages where you just said it could be an opportunity to do something, to take stock. Unrest in the country is an opportunity to sit down and to look at systemic issues, to look at how we're all doing. And so let's make sure that we discern how do we need to respond, when do we need to respond urgently, but inform. Let people know that you actually are working. Right. Number three, I find it really helpful to set boundaries around your workday. We need to watch out for social media or our electronic nature of our work. In other words, we don't work in a factory on a conveyor belt. We work wherever we are. My phone's there. I can be working. And so watch out for social media smudge or electronic gadget smudge. It can smudge into every part of your life. If you need to do something like Cindy has in her WhatsApp, which is a message that says it's out of hours, you know, I did have an immediate question I asked, urgent meeting, a question that I asked Cindy yesterday for a record was a one-line answer about when recording is tomorrow or Thursday. And we in and out engage with that. So there's a level of flexibility,
good,
but we are going to be disciplined as much as we can. Humanly possibility. We need to select 2/3 of the day to work. I need to work morning and afternoon, or morning and night, or afternoon at night, so that my family knows that there's a time, there's a block of time, or at least that there's this 2-hour time in the middle of the afternoon that I'm not working because I'm online with 115 tonight. But if we just allow it to smudge across until eventually we were this work machine and Simon's giving us accolades, and then he won't be because he's too discerning about what's happening in our lives. And if we don't have a family anymore, if we don't have a spouse anymore, he's actually going to give us a booby prize. It's not going to go well with us.
Preach it, Mark, preach it.
And so tell family when you're available to them by setting boundaries. And when you do need to break the 2/3 rule, which does happen from time to time, where you have to work almost 3/3 of the day, then pay yourself back tomorrow. Take some time off. Sanaka would tell you, if we had ever done 215 at church on a Thursday night, I would tell her, I don't want to see you tomorrow morning. It was hard for her because she was shared under Dennis and myself. And but I respected the way in which she was very quick to follow up and to say, okay, I'm going to find a couple of hours and take some time off in lieu thereof. I must admit, when I looked at how well we're doing in this area, it's actually true that some 58% of us can improve. Many of us are struggling with boundaries if you take those two categories that need a bit of work. And let's be honest, even the 40% of us probably have moments when we can get out of whack. And I bet you if I ask your spouse or your friend or your partner to answer the same question, they might say, Mark, what boundaries? And so we need to be checking in. That other question related to this was, do you have a hard time saying no? 86% of us can actually improve. Mm-hmm. We need to say no appropriately. It's not a no person who never does anything. Look to add value, do extra. Impossible. He has his Twitter handlers. He's someone who wants to give and add value to others. We need to do that. But if Impor's doing that every single minute of every day, there's a problem. And then finally, that question 7 was also about, are you carrying responsibilities that were never meant to be yours to begin with? Well, 34% of us can improve here. And so even though it's a smaller amount, and remember this time has changed, many of us are doing different things that we weren't doing before. Now, it seems, and I'll show you the results now, that most of us have a suitable workspace. And this doesn't actually mean that actually, let me just go back to that, that we've all got this nailed and we don't need to worry about this, because there could well be elements that we improved. And so make sure you have the kind of internet access you have. We can't all afford the top, but let's make sure we've nothing is hindering us. Make sure your charger is around, your Bible, your notebook, and your pen. Always have that so you can write something down that's needed. Have some water nearby. Do wear headphones when you're at home, because then you're not talking all the time and it's not a continual barrage of sounds for your family. It's good. More respectful to them. And I think that would really help. Simon's given me a good there. And then lastly, before we jump into groups, limit distractions in your environment. Now, you can't stop your neighbor starting his mower. It might be a good opportunity to go around and meet the neighbor and continue your engaging opportunities with him. But remember that some interruptions are opportunities. Put your phone on silent at times. Let it be on vibrate. Put up a sign if necessary. Tell your family when you're on a call to remind you of an earlier one. And so make sure that you're finding ways. So yes, 16% of us only can improve our workspace, but I don't have the luxury of having an office at the home. We only have a 3-bedroom place and there's 4 of us that share this home. But Debbie and I work really well. There's moments when she's got the door shut for counseling. I have one place where I do Zoom, have another place in the lounge where I can do some of my work. So I kind of move around depending on the best of what I'm doing. So I'm going to pause it there. And make sure we aim in well to end on time. So I've given you 5 practices, embrace the work from home. Christelle's going to drop these in just as a reminder. Which area are you doing well in and where do you need to improve? And so those are the 5 that I've gone on so far. We're going to have about 7 minutes or so to engage in groups. So just keep it short, keep it brief. There you go. There should be about 3 of us in a group. So there you go. And I trust that was helpful. I know we had some very productive stuff. We had some great little ideas shared. And the Lerifolos have this little posted note idea that if the kids need something or it's urgent, they put it on the note and stick it up. And that seemed really helpful. For someone being distracted by homeless people coming to the door and you don't want to be non-social and you put a sign, I'm in a meeting, please come back at X time. CJ, that was just brilliant. And we might have to deal with extending our fiber reach into corners of our home. So we really came up with some really great thoughts. So I trust you also did. So I'm going to look at the next 5 and then put you back in groups. And this one is that you need to plan your day in advance. If you get out of bed in the morning, have breakfast, do your devotions, and then start thinking about what you're going to do in the day, you've lost it. You are against a huge upward battle. But if you could, in that evening before, maybe even do weekly planning, maybe do in the night before, know in advance what you're going to do. Okay? So you want to predetermine, I would say, at least the following things. What is your one focus for the day? Don't forget, I'm dropping all these notes afterwards. You can make a note if you want. You need to find out, so your main thing, you know, is this your stats day? Is this your recording day? Is this your counseling day or whatever? And I don't know if you do that and for different parts of your week. Then look at 3 priorities for the day. What are 3 things I need to give myself to primarily today? And I'm talking work now, right? Not family or whatever. And then what are the 3 projects you need to work on to move forward? And then the 3 tasks to get done. And a project is just something that has lots of tasks to complete it, right? So what am I moving forward in terms of projects? What are the tasks that I absolutely have to get done before I lay me down to sleep? What are the 3 habits I may be tracking? Is it the amount of water I'm drinking, the number of steps I'm walking, the number of people I'm checking in with, the number of unsaved people I'm leading to Jesus, or whatever it is? Look at those tasks, that those habits that you're tracking. And then who are 3 people that you need to connect with? 3 people that you haven't been connecting in with for a while. And I have some individuals that I often just connect with just so that we can check in. Greg, see you on Thursday morning at 10 a.m. So plan your day in advance. Don't wait until it's too late. Get into your calendar. If you don't put time in, either it's going to be with Ray or other people will just take advantage of it. And that's really not ideal. So the question that related to this was being in the Word and praying daily, and it's tangentially related. I didn't have a question that really related to this practice, but I think let's work in this area. Let's, because Simon challenged us this morning in his devotion, that when I got the perspective of the Word, when I'm reading, speaking, and praying the Word, I'm able to deal with anxiety better. I'm able to deal with my whole approach to life and work. So let's make sure that it's one of the rocks that we put in to our life, and then look, let's look out for some ways. Drop me a text if you want 10 creative ways to read the Bible or some new ideas on devotional work and stuff. I know Simon can help with this as well, and many others. So what about number 7? Cheers, Ash, enjoy work. And it's always good, even if you're presenting something and your daughter's leaving for work, you can just pause and say, cheers, it's okay. She is a person. You don't have to say, go away, I'm on a Zoom call. Go away, Ashley, and it's cool. So
well done, Mark, well done.
Number 7, be flexible with your schedule. Now this sounds contradictory, doesn't it? Sounds like I've just told you to be planned and involved in advance. Well, being productive doesn't mean rigid and inflexible. No, in fact, planning allows you to be flexible. In fact, the art of getting things done is knowing what you don't have to get done today so that you can reschedule it. If I only have something due next week, maybe I don't have to do the whole thing now, and I can just do an initial 1 hour reflecting on it, and I can move some of the rest to tomorrow or to the next day. So shift things around, adjust your schedule, know what must be done today and know what can be moved to the next day. And that will help you incredibly to just allow you to keep moving, to make sure that you don't feel overwhelmed. Don't go to sleep without doing the actual critical thing. If you're preaching on a Wednesday and you're recording on a Wednesday, I mean, you need to get me their notes because I have to get it to Asher by Thursday morning first thing. That's just one of those things that I wouldn't let slip. But can I schedule something else tomorrow? Yes, I probably can. And then use time blocking. I'm not going to go far into this, but group similar tasks into blocks of time. Rather than checking your email every single minute of the day, and of course, many of us might have it set to pop up automatically, which apparently is not wise, but schedule time to work on stuff and block out other distractions during that time. And it helps to choose similar tasks together and work on them at the same time. Do you know that it takes between 10 and 15 minutes to refocus attention once you let it break by just one glance at a phone? So if you are doing sermon prep or message prep or dealing with someone in a deep counseling moment, the last thing you want to do is see what's popping up on social media, no matter how important that is. Always be available to people is something that is a myth. We always need to be present and able to get back to people when they need and to discern what's absolutely critical. But sometimes we need to say, someone else is going to deal with that. And so limit app notifications. Your app shouldn't be screaming at you every 2 minutes. Don't keep checking the app every 2 minutes. But particularly with email and social media, try and reduce it to those times when you do your research or when you do your hard creation of work. Number 9, second to last, find your ideal work times. We're all different. Some of us are night owls. Some of us are those morning people that just get up and just go running. Find your time. If your best time is between 8 and 12 in the morning, then do your best work then. In fact, Dennis, I remember a survey that was done recently, and I think a lot of people found that morning time to be their most productive. If that is you, then don't start working on something that requires great energy and effort later in the afternoon. Do that in the morning and do lighter work in the afternoon. And finally, take breaks during the day. If there's one area that I've gotten better at over time is that I've become better at punctuating my day with those moments. I used to be able to just work for 6 hours straight, no break, anything, probably killed my eyes, and it's not the best way to work. Take regular breaks. Don't just work endlessly. Create and manufacture social connections. Reach out to someone. Do something. Every hour, do something different for 10 minutes. Every hour, do something different for 10 minutes. Like take a walk outside, complete a small household chore. I build a lot of household stuff into my day, and Debbie will attest to this. It's not like I put aside the morning to do things, and nor does she, but we punctuate the day with doing the dishes, hanging stuff up, doing the washing or whatever, and it's background stuff, and it just clears your mind, it refocuses your eyes. And so we had asked whether you feel guilty. 38% of ourselves can improve in this era because we sometimes or often feel like we shouldn't be taking a break of sorts. And then what about those of us and how are we taking Sabbath rest? 57% can improve. 57% of us can improve. And it, we might not have the ideal yet, but let's move towards that. Right, so we're going to go back into the breakout rooms. Thanks, Christelle, for posting the five. We're going to do a similar amount of time, and we're well on track to end at with a final closing at 1 o'clock. Right. Comment, just keep on looking at how you can improve, be flexible, know that you're working from home. And both of those are important. Don't just work the same as you would at the office. And we'll drop some of those notes for you. Head over to you, Dennis.